Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 103.9 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone to Breaking It Down. Frank McKay here with someone from one of the best bands of our times, and certainly one of my favorite bands. And from day one, the day this album came out, and we got it from Geffen. I owned a newspaper, and we fell in love with this band immediately. In fact, their first video, Little Susie, Brian Wheat, the bass player of Tesla, wore our T-shirt, network T-shirt. And I was a teenager when we started the newspaper. We gave them their first cover, but they were just off to the races from the get-go. They were just great, and it was so much different than what was going on at the time with all the hair bands and everything. These guys were just rockers and absolutely great. Brian Wheat, the bass player's new book, is Son of a Milkman, and it's absolutely terrific. The complete title is Son of a Milkman, My Crazy Life with Tesla. Brian Wheat, how are you?
I'm good, man. How are you doing?
Listen, doing great. I just ordered my book, and I'm urging everyone to get it. It's going to be great. You're a great storyteller, and how does it translate to writing? Is this the first time you've done this?
Yeah, it's the first time I ever put out a book, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I just kind of sat around and told my stories, and you know, someone dictated them, and then when I got together with Chris Epting, we put it in a book form.
Listen, it's a great way to do it. I mean, let's face it. That's what we want to hear. We want to hear stories. We want to hear about the life.
It's just whatever it takes to get it on the canvas, you know what I mean? Creativity comes in many shapes and sizes and forms, and you know, whatever it takes to get it. Well, you know, to this, it was on paper, or you know what I mean, but or on the canvas, or the song on the radio, whatever. But you remember me wearing that network T-shirt, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We gave it to you. I was there when you got it, and you wore it on the back of Little Susie, which went gold and maybe platinum, right? The single, and then the 12-inch you wore it there, and we appreciate it, and it just it launched us. We got national distribution after that, and we did well with it. And we were just kids like you. We were long-haired stoner kids, and you know, rockers, and you
I
guys
still have that shirt, dude.
Do you really?
Yeah, I mean, it don't fit. But,
but you guys, yeah,
I kept all that stuff in a box. You know what I mean? All those early clothes, you know, because I think that photo shoot for all that stuff, that was all the same day.
Yeah.
So the video and everything. So while we were making that video, they did a photo shoot, and that's where the photo from the single came out and all that stuff. But, you know, it wasn't too long ago. I was moving from California to New York, and, you know, I found a box of old T-shirts and stuff, and that was in there.
Wow, that's absolutely terrific. It was just a plain white with blue letters and whatever.
Yeah, it was just a white T-shirt, but it looked cool, man. I wore it. Cool, man. Here we go.
You know what impressed me about you guys, and obviously you were great players, and you wrote wonderful music, and you were terrific performers, but you were as down to earth when we met you on that first album. Then the week that Signs was number one, it was just all over the place. We ran into you again. My brother and I ran into you again at SIR, and you were with Thompson and Barbiero, and you guys just didn't change a bit. It was just like you were so down to earth. You were so level headed. And you were just as cool as you were when you were starting out. I mean, I don't know. Listen, I don't know how the band evolved as far as, personalities. But to me, from an outsider, it seemed like you guys kept your feet on the ground.
We tried to. You know, we tried to. It can be difficult at times, but we managed to stay pretty grounded throughout our whole career.
Tell us a little bit about the book, and you know, we're going to urge everyone to get the book once again. Son of a Milkman, My Crazy Life with Tesla. Brian Wheat, bass player of Tesla, is the author of it. Everyone get two of these books. get one for yourself and one for your favorite rock fan, and get two of these books and be supportive. But what's the difference between what you expected it to come out like and what the ultimate result was?
Well, I mean, it's basically a book of my life. So, you know, I think when I first started, I thought it was going to be a book of just, you know, Tesla stories. And it evolved into much more than that. So, you know, half the book's about me and what I go through and how I grew up and you know, things I struggle with in life, and health issues and anxiety and depression. And then, you know, the other half of the book's, you know, kind of my view of how it's all gone down in Tesla over the years, from the beginning to, you know, becoming successful, making the Little Susie video and wearing the network t-shirt, and, you know, having hit singles, and then kind of going out of style and having grunge come in, and then breaking up, and then getting back together, and then the trials and tribulations of keeping a band, you know, together going on 37, 38 years now.
Amazing. Just absolutely amazing. You know, there's a heavy moment that you talk about in the book, and it's has to do with Chris Cornell, the late, great Chris Cornell. And from what I understand, that's the day you really started thinking about depression and how serious it could be. And just clarify that if I'm wrong.
Well, really, no. I mean, I suffered more from anxiety, and depression came later. But the thing about Chris is I only met him one time. This one day I was with my friend Ross Halfen, and he's a famous rock photographer.
Great
and
photographer.
Doing a photo session with Chris. And he said, "Hey, do you want to, will you drive us around?" Because we were in L.A. I said, "Yeah, sure, I'll drive you around, Ross. And, you know, I'd like to meet Chris Cornell. I'm a big fan of his." So I met him, and he was cool, and we're driving around, and he started telling me about how he was having anxiety attacks. And I'd never heard anyone else in a rock band ever talk about anxiety attacks. And I said, "You know, I've had the same thing since I was 14. So we started talking about, you know, what medication we took, and I told him about my therapy and this, that, and the other. And then I never saw or spoke to him again in my life. And it wasn't too long after that he died. He committed suicide. So, and then a couple of years ago, I had a really bad bout with depression, which I had never really experienced before. And it was because I got off my anxiety medication. And, you know, so, you know, it was heavy in the fact that I'd never heard anyone else in a rock band ever talk about it, because it's kind of the thing you don't really talk about, you know. Yeah. Anxiety and depression, people just don't talk about it, you know, especially in rock bands. That was the story.
Well, listen, you do, and you write about it, and it's great that you do, and you share that with people. Because, listen, everybody I know has either anxiety or depression, and, you know, somebody out there is for the most part, suffering from it. As we speak, everyone who's listening right now is...
Well, especially in this day and age,
yeah,
this COVID and shit, yeah, Everyone's a bit stressed out and depressed.
No doubt about it. Listen, I know a lot of people are waiting to talk to you. I wish I had more time with you. Can you give us a website, a social media site where people could follow along, and also the best place to get the book?
Well, you know, obviously you can follow along at Brian Wheat, Facebook, or, you know, I got my personal page, my fan page, Brian Wheat Instagram, TeslaTheBand.com. You know, has everything, you know, as to where, what Tesla's up to. As far as the book, you can get it at Barnes & Noble, any bookstore, and, you know, Amazon, and wherever you get books, it's everywhere.
Listen, congratulations on the book, Brian. You're terrific. Always from that day, that first day we met a long time ago, you put on that T-shirt, and you have a special place in our heart for the rest of our lives. We were just teenagers, started a newspaper, and you kind of put us on the map there. That was great. Brian, thanks for being here.
Man, I like that shirt. And, you know, you guys were always cool to us.
Well, listen, terrific. Thrilled to have you. Congratulations on everything. Take care, Brian.
You too, buddy.
Brian Wheat, bass player of Tesla, and again, what a great band they are. And again, I'm biased. You know, we met them as teenagers. When I say we, and my brother and I owned a newspaper called Network, and we just started it with no money. We had no money. We were so broke, but we started this newspaper with this other guy, and we basically got ads from everyone that we were booking for. We were booking agents, and actually I dropped out of high school the day I turned 16 and started teaching guitar, and I played a lot of different styles, flamenco and jazz and different things like that, and I had 35 students right away, and I went to Suffolk Community College on a dropout program, so I had no high school credits, but what did I have, 2 or 3 high school credits, and when I turned 17, we started booking and booking bands and, local clubs or anywhere we could do it. And I did it full time, made more money with that than with guitar lessons. And, I eventually got more into that. And my brother and I started booking a whole bunch of different places, and we turned this one place around. I mean, we never really got credit for it, but Sundance in Bayshore was a country and western place, and it was going out of business. It was ready to go out of business. We came in there and we started booking in. It was like 8 days a week we had it open, and we had 2 shows on Saturday. We had a dry show. Well, it was supposed to be dry show, but it was underage show, and we ended up doing very well there. And had an agency in there until it closed about 6 years later. But in the middle of that, and, I was 18, I think, when we got to Sundance. And later, when I turned 19, we started a newspaper called Network. And, the owner of Sundance, Cariola, took out a full-page ad. And Lemoore took out a full-page ad. And everybody paid us in advance so we could get the newspaper out, and we put out a newspaper, legitimate newspaper, and it was for the most part just on the fly. A lot of typos. There's a lot. We didn't know anything about putting out a newspaper, and that's where we met all these different bands, and it's a long, long story, but we ended up doing well with it. After that, we slammed into a brick wall with the magazine. We went into a magazine format, and we originally got a major distribution deal, which would have been great. We would have been rich at a very young age. And the guy got fired who gave us the deal, and we already had printed up 25,000 copies of a magazine and a version of Network, and called it Metal Network, and we just we slammed into a brick wall. How are we going to get out 25,000 copies without a major distributor? The new guy who came in and took over for him had no interest in us. But anyway, and then we didn't go back to the newspaper format. But along the way, I mean, so many different bands that we met. I mean, Guns N' Roses. I think we had 6 interviews with them. Slash did all their interviews at that time, and it's the only one we had. Metallica, Lars Ulrich did most of their interviews. I think we had 5 or 6 with them, and Poison was a big deal. You know, I mentioned about Brian and Tesla being Brian Wheat, who was our very special guest, how they stayed the same from that first album till the new album, which was it was an EP, I think, with Signs, and Signs went number one. It was a big. They were exactly the same. you know, like when we, and we hadn't seen him for years, and it was just, you know, absolutely, absolutely the same. Poison was different, you know, and again, I'm not criticizing Bret Michaels or whatever, but if you listen to our first interview with Bret Michaels, he was, I think it was from Pennsylvania, and it was, you know, down to earth. This is right as the album is being released. And then we spoke to him the week that Every Rose Has a Thorn, or Has Its Thorn, and that was number one, I believe. And he had like a California accent at that point. It was like different. He was like a different guy. Again, I'm not criticizing him or whatever, but it was a much different guy. If you listen to the tapes of the interviews back to back, much different. Certainly not the case with these guys, with Tesla, and actually Slash, and you know, the folks like that. He stayed the same. We interviewed them while the, you know, first time around. The album took a while. The Appetite for Destruction took a while before it broke. It was like 10 months struggling. And they were on Geffen the same way Tesla was on Geffen. And, you know, and then at some point, Welcome to the Jungle. Actually, I think it was Sweet Child of Mine broke. And they just exploded at that Guns N' Roses. And that album just exploded. Tesla was, you know, I think to Geffen, like, not an afterthought. I mean, they knew they were a great band and everything else, but Guns N' Roses really took, you know, took the forefront because they became so hot and they sold so many records and the videos were popular. But, you know, to me, Tesla was just always a great, great band and you know, great guys, as you can hear. Again, Brian Weed has been our very special guest, son of a milkman. My crazy life with Tesla, and you know, as I'm saying, they stayed the same, and they kept their feet on the ground. I'm sure they didn't, you know, in actuality. And I'm sure this book, if it's called My Crazy Life with Tesla, you'll be able to see. But anyway, I had mentioned to Brian about wearing the T-shirt. We gave him T-shirts. We did a trade with some silk screener. And they gave us a bunch of T-shirts, and we gave them free ads in network in the newspaper, and we'd give them to the bands, and they would they'd put them on. I think Ozzy put one on, and you know, a bunch of different people put it on. But Brian not only put it on, he put it on and did a photo shoot with it. He cut off the sleeves and did a photo shoot, and Little Susie Took Off. That was their first single, and it was gold or platinum. So he wore it on the back of, or it was worn, I should say, on the back of the 45, which is 7-inch, and it was worn on the 12-inch, which was, you know, also platinum. And the video, Little Susie, the first sight of Tesla, you saw network all over the place, and that was our newspaper. My brother and I started it as teenagers, and again, you know, for some poor kids from Long Island, meeting some poor kids from Sacramento, they, you know, they gave us a boost, and we boosted them too. We had a readership, and we put them on the front cover for the first time anybody put them on the front cover, and they were just again great guys, great band, and thrilled to see that they stuck around for 37 years. Had some breakups in between, but 37 years. Get this book if you can. Get this book, Son of a Milkman. Brian Wheat, the bass player in Tesla, wrote it, and the full title is Son of a Milkman, My Crazy Life with Tesla. Again, Brian Wheat is the author. Frank McKay here, again, urging everyone to check it out. I'd love to do more interviews with the rock stars that were around then. One of the things that he points out, and he'll point it out in interviews, Brian and some of the other guys, we had Frank Hannon from Tesla, and you know, a couple of the guys, Troy for the drummer. We had probably the whole band we had on at one point here on this show. And one of the things that they all it bothers all of them is the hair band thing. Sometimes they get thrown in that category as being a hair band, and they really weren't. You know, the first the first photo shoot, I think Geffen pushed them and Guns N' Roses to kind of put some hairspray in, and they hated it, and they went to flannel shirts right away. And Axl Rose, if you see him in Welcome to the Jungle, the first video that they did, he had hairspray in. And if you look at the second video, the one that launched them, it was Sweet Child of Mine, and he had his hair down, and all of them pulled it down. And at that point, I think everybody started getting away from the hairspray. But to call, you know, Tesla a hairband is, is a misnomer. Same thing with Guns N' Roses. I mean, they certainly weren't. And, you know, I mentioned them together. They came out, you know, roughly the same time, same label. And terrific guys, you know, all throughout. Once again, buy Brian Wheat's album, Son of a Milkman, especially if you come from that time period like I do. And My Crazy Life with Tesla is the name of the book. Brian Wheat's the author, bass player of Tesla. Frank McKay signing off. We'll see you next time on Breaking It Down.